All right. Dave had, a couple of months ago, started in Romans and had did an overview of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And then we had all these speakers come in, and he's made it to chapter 2. So I was going to tackle just some specifics in that verse, those verses from Romans 1, 18 through 32. So let us turn there in our Bibles. And we will read Romans 1, starting verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what has been made known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to the shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God, God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have today to look into your word. Lord, bless your word. Speak to our hearts and our minds that we would just be better disciples and follow you more closely. We thank you and we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I worked with a guy for 14 years at FedEx. He passed away last year. Really nice guy, a Christian guy. And I spoke to his brother that told me, I asked him, well, how did Tom pass away? What happened? He said, Tom had a pain in his lower back. And the pain just persisted over the months, and he started taking ibuprofen to deaden the pain, thinking that it would go away. And it didn't go away. It got worse and started bothering him more and more. And so finally he went to the doctor. And the doctor says, I got bad news for you. You have prostate cancer. But not just that, it spread widely throughout his body. So shortly after that doctor visit, he passed away. Now, in a sense, this kind of reminds me of this passage in a way, because we choose sometimes mankind to address our painful state, and we think by ignoring it, things will go away. What happens, though, in most people's lives, things go from bad to worse, because we just choose to ignore this thing called sin. But deep down inside, we know that there's something going on. We know there's something wrong with us called sin. And we also know down deep inside, because God has made it plain to us, that he does exist. And we try to ignore that, make it go away. And when I read these verses, it makes me realize just how sinful mankind is, how we are towards God. And it's not a fluffy, happy passage, but it's nonetheless here in Scripture, and we have to address it. And we can try as hard as we can to put God to the side. And we do this because mankind wants to do their own thing. We want to have our own little party, do what we want to do with no accountability. That's how mankind is. So we try to suppress the truth of God. Like my friend knew that there was something wrong. He tried to suppress the truth that something was worse wrong with him. He didn't address it. You know, it's like taking cough suppressant. You know, and you have something more serious going on and you're thinking, well, this will take care of the problem, but you know it's not because it's only addressing the symptom, not the cause. And you got that warning label that says, you know, if cough persists, go see your doctor. And we have what's called a truthful word here of God, and his warning label is this, and we have to take heed to that. People ignore God's warning label, and there's different types of suppressant that they use to do that. You know, you've heard the excuses, I'm not convinced, there's not enough evidence for me, I don't see the evidence there. No proof. Evolution is obviously the truth. That's what I believe in. They suppress the truth. And as they do this, sin in their life goes unchecked and their spiritual condition gets worse and worse. And deep down and inside and outwardly, there's proof of God's existence, but they suppress that truth. They just turn away from it. If you remember the documentary U-180, we watched this once in a study. And you may have seen it on your own at home. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a very good DVD documentary. And in that documentary, Ray Comfort is talking to different people. And he tells one man this. And this just stood out to me. He says, "This is why you don't want to believe in God. You're a self-admitted lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer, fornicator, and you have to face God on Judgment Day, and the thought of being morally responsible to him is repulsive to you, so you deny his existence." And he says to the guy, "Does that make sense?" You know what the man replies? He says, "That makes total sense." That's what he tells Ray Comfort. So he knows deep down inside. Now, the bottom line is that men suppress the truth of God so that we can basically just do our own thing. You know, if we don't have to admit there's a God, then there's no accountability, no problems. But deep down inside, there's proof. God says men are without excuse. So this morning, I want to look at suppressing the truth. And I want to look at a couple of passages in here and the way people do that. So we'll explore that as we go along. We'll look at the consequences that happens to that also. Verse 18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven." And Dave, pretty much 2 weeks ago, talked about Jesus being our Redeemer and our Judge. So a little bit of that encompasses the wrath of God in a way. When a judge makes a decree that you are guilty, that gavel comes down, he reads the sentence, that's the wrath of that judge going out to the guilty person. And in this passage here, talking about God's wrath, and I kept reading all of this and trying to dig into it, and basically, you know, and you often hear people say this too, "My God is a loving God. My God's not a wrathful God." Well, they haven't read the scriptures, because God is a God of love, he's a God of justice, of mercy, he's long-suffering. But if you ignore him and you don't accept his son Jesus Christ as Savior, then the wrath of God is on you. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." God's wrath is on us when we reject Jesus Christ. We see God's wrath in the Old Testament, in the flood, in Sodom and Gomorrah. We see in Revelation the future of God's wrath against mankind, and that's coming. But somewhere in between, there's another wrath, and I believe that's what's being talked about here. God can judge and will judge sometimes sin immediately. That does happen. Sometimes God delays his wrath and his judgment. But here, we're talking about this. The wrath of God is a principle that operates in the universe. You know, God has created a world and a universe of order. There's order. If we go outside of that order, then things go wrong. And God doesn't have to come down from heaven to exercise his wrath. You know, we do certain things. You reap what you sow. We do certain things in our life outside the will of God, and we have to suffer the consequences of those sins. Okay? So wrath is the spiritual consequence of sin already at work in the world. And when you step into that, you collide with sin and wrath comes on you. Suppressing the truth. The word suppress in the Greek literally means to hold down. It's in the present tense, which indicates that ungodly men and women are continually, actively, willfully, deliberately restraining, hindering, and withholding the truth about God. And the word conveys the picture of putting all of one's body weight upon something in an effort to restrict its free movement. Lindsay talked one time about holding a ball underwater. That ball wants to come to the top. If you let it go, it's going to spring right up to the top, and people try to hold that down, and it wants to come up. The Greek here is giving an indication of like a spring. If you think of a giant spring and men using all of their weight and their strength to hold that spring down, that's what they're doing. In this case, to restrict the free movement of truth, which sets men free, truth about God. And it's nothing new with mankind. He's been doing it from the beginning of time. Started with the serpent in the garden. John chapter 8, don't turn there, calls him the father of lies, the opposite of the truth. One way of suppressing the truth is by telling a lie, and Satan did that in Genesis 3:1. He says, did God really say? Placing doubt on what God has said in his word. That's one way of suppressing the truth. People, for some reason, find it easier to believe a lie rather than the truth because in many cases, the lie sounds better. A lot of cases, it's easier. You know, if we follow God's decrees in this book, it calls for accountability and it calls, we do it out of love, but it's not as easy as just freewheeling your life and doing whatever you want. So people, a lot of times, hear that lie, it sounds better. I'm going with the lie because it's easier. Winston Churchill said this, while a lie is making itself halfway around the world, truth is just getting its pants on. You tell a good lie, a good rumor, especially gossip, and especially with today's social media, man, that'll travel faster than you can blink. I like that. The lie is making its way halfway around, truth is just getting its pants on. A lie sounds better, travels faster. Now, I believe there's a dark force often between the suppressing the truth. It didn't take long for the enemies of God to try and suppress the very one sent by God. In the book of John, it says that we beheld his glory, the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And this is the truth that people can't deal with. And I've heard this before, you know, I believe in God, but this Jesus thing, they don't want to accept Jesus. Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to set a foundation here regarding suppressing the truth. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 16. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. How's that for trying to suppress the truth? Herod, right from the get-go, the Messiah, is coming into the world. And Herod says, no, I'm king. I'm the one. There's no other, and I'm not bowing the knee to anybody else. I'll go as far as murder to keep it that way. Not just murder, but I'll murder infants. I'll suppress the truth so that I can live my life the way I see fit and be accountable to no one. And that's the bottom line. We don't want to be bothered. Just want to do our own thing. Some people don't know truth when it's staring them in the face. Turn to John chapter 18. verses 37 through 38. This is Pilate, and Jesus before Pilate. Pilate says in 37, "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to do what? To testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Then Herod's rhetorical question is, "What is truth?" Pilate asked with this. He went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." John 19:15, "But they shouted, 'Take him away, crucify him.'" Pilate had his own problems. He had a possible rebellion about to occur, and truth really didn't matter to him at this point. He just wanted to get rid of the problem. He wanted to suppress the truth right then and there. Now, people do that today. My truth is my truth, and your truth is your truth. I hear that all the time from people. So you get them in a corner, and you ask them a question about something they value or that they like, and then all of a sudden, "No, I thought you just said that your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth." And they change their mind. It's only one truth. Now, there were never two words ever spoken that suppress the truth more than those two words, "crucify him." It's what people say today. They say it in their actions and by their rejection of God. If we just get rid of this Jesus, then we don't have to hear any more from him, listen to any of his teachings, and that will be the end of that. Well, they were sadly mistaken, weren't they? But even when the truth prevails, the Jews still work very hard trying to suppress the truth. Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say his disciples came during the night, stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were told or instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." Once again, truth staring them in the face, and what do? "Let's make up a story, devise a plan, pay these people off, cover it up, shut your mouth, go away." Suppressing the truth. It says that this story has been widely circulated even today in our time. Same thing. I heard somebody once tell me that they believe that Jesus came into the world because Mary was raped by a Roman guard. So where'd you get that from? How'd you come up with that? See, that lie is better for him. No accountability, suppress the truth. One of my favorite contemporary Christian songs from years ago, because I'm stuck in the 90s. Maybe Rachel knows this song. It was by a group called New Song. And it was called "You Can't Keep a Good Man Down." It says, "There were those who believed and followed him, and there were those who wanted him dead. They thought the grave would silence him forever, but they found out instead. You can close your eyes, you can say it's a lie, you can stick your head in the sand. You can turn away, even try to explain he was just another man. When they nailed him to the cross by his hands and his feet, and they put him in the ground, 3 days later everybody found out that you can't keep a good man down. He says, 'I can take you to the hill where they hung him on a cross. I can take you to the empty tomb. I can tell you he's alive because he lives in me, but the rest is up to you.'" People still today just want to explain it away, and Jesus was just another man. He was just a good prophet. He was a good man, right? Oh, he was a good man. What mankind is doing, we're just suppressing the truth. And they're suppressing the truth about the one and only person that can actually save them, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's take a look at some of the verses here in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You know, there's a progression here. Suppression of the truth starts with a choice to ignore, even though God has made himself known to them. He's made it plain to people that you're without excuse. He's made it plain to them. I want to look at what I believe is one of the biggest suppression of the truth in our society, namely in the school systems and high school and the colleges. Evolution is being taught as the truth. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because I looked in an article this morning, and it's in the Tribune. It says, study says Indonesia hobbits, fossils significantly older than first thought. Okay. I'll just read a couple of paragraphs in here. It says, the hobbits appeared to have been the last of our companions on the human branch of the evolutionary tree to go extinct. Then at the end, it says, Richard Roberts of the University of Wollongong, or whatever it is, in Australia, a study author, said in an email, it is certainly a possibility to be considered, but solid evidence is needed in order to demonstrate it. One thing we can be certain of, it will definitely be a major focus of further research. So they're not even sure if it's the evidence is in, but here you go in the paper. They've already made up their minds. You try to teach intelligent design in the school, whoa, man, you got a problem. For those who remember the documentary Expelled, we saw that also as a group in the theaters with Ben Stein. Very good, very well done. We see numerous professors in major universities and institutions losing their jobs because they merely mention the words intelligent design. An evolutionary biologist named Richard Sternberg is in the documentary. He published an article by a guy named Stephen C. Mayer, who is a leader in the intelligent design movement. And just by publishing this letter, he strayed from the party line. It created such a firestorm, he says, of controversy, because it suggested that intelligent design may be able to explain how life began. And these people couldn't handle it. They got like highly upset. He said, intelligent design proponents have raised a number of very important questions, and he wanted these questions simply placed on the table. Let's just look at it. Let's just talk about it. But the mentioning of intelligent design, he says, was over the top. It questioned Darwinism, and it went way too far as his peers were concerned. He was viewed as an intellectual terrorist because he gave credibility to intelligent design. Okay, that's how they viewed him. And they actually, his religious and political beliefs were investigated, and he was pressured to resign. And there's also other professors the same. They went through the same thing. They all lost their jobs. This one guy here says, he said, people were so upset that they had a physical and emotional reaction. That's how angry they were. That's how badly they want to suppress the truth. I watched one guy in the video who starts talking about intelligent design and how boring it is. And the more he spoke, the angrier he got. I was just waiting for him to start foaming from the mouth. It was unreal. It was almost comical to watch how upset he was talking about intelligent design. You know why people get that reaction, right? Because deep down inside, they know that God has made it plain to them. It's going against what God has made plain to them. They can't handle it. They don't want to admit it. Verse 22 says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. I have a PhD in microbiology, and I smoke a pipe. I am much smarter than you. That's the attitude. Some of these people think that they are just so smart that everybody else below them. You know, I'd rather be dumb in Christ than be smart like they are. These wizards of smart used to think that science would one day prove that there's no God. Well, guess what? The opposite's happening. A lot of these scientists who aren't even religious, they're saying that the further we go into this, the more that we're seeing that it's pointing towards intelligent design. That's what they're all saying. All they're saying is, let's let the evidence take us where it will. Now, how evil is that to suppress the truth yourself and then get a major position in a university, and like all of them, and teach evolution to other people and suppress the truth about intelligent design, when the evidence has clearly taken them in that direction? All one has to do is take a look around you. Look at the sky. Look at everything. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands." You know, what kind of God does nature reveal to us? As I said before, God is a God of order. It's a God of might, intelligence, intricate detail. God of order and beauty, a God who controls powerful forces. One of the most brilliant scientists of our time who passed away a while back was Linus Pauling, if you've ever heard of him. His quote, he says, "Just one cell in the human body is more complicated than New York City." One cell. And I believe the body has like over a trillion cells, trillions. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. With today's technology, we can look so much closer and deeper into a cell. Darwin could never imagine what we can see today. Never could have imagined it. And it boggles the mind. Yet these men still deny God. Even though he's made it plain, you can't make it any plainer. I read this. Even Helen Keller, if you know her story, I think at 18 months is when she lost her sight and her hearing. And when they learned, when she learned how to communicate, signing back and forth, they asked her about God. She said, "I always knew there was a God, but I just didn't know his name." How's that for evidence? How's that for making it plain? But like Herod, people like to be kings of their own lives. That's the bottom line. Want to do what I want to do, no accountability. And what they're basically saying is, away with him, crucify him. Verse 25. "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." Now, I was talking with Conrad, being that he's an engineer, and I know nothing about that. I was asking him about a cornerstone. And in construction, when you start to build a structure, you have to put a cornerstone there, and it has to be just perfect. And if that cornerstone is off, everything else is off. Nothing goes right after that. If we don't get the origin of life correct, that cornerstone, nothing else is going to go right after that. Things tend to go downhill from there. Everything is off. If we don't acknowledge Jesus Christ, we don't acknowledge God as a creator, as that cornerstone, nothing else is going to go right. We're going to see what I mean by that. In this country and all around the world, there's a religion that's huge. It's called the religion of environmentalism. People worshiping the earth, the green movement. In ancient times, people bow down to the sun, the moon, the stars, graven images, even images to look like animals. Today, and there may be certain parts that are unexplored out in the jungle somewhere where people still do that, but for the most part today, people do it in a different way. We do it through environmentalism, making that above God. You know, if I get one more email about saving a tree by not printing the email, I'm going to scream. It's just like, all right, come on. You know, I don't print a lot of paper to begin with anyway. Bet you didn't know this. There's a Green Bible. Have you ever heard of the Green Bible? No? It was published in 2008 by HarperCollins. And it's a Bible that has verses that supposedly deal with environmentalism. And the words that are highlighted for those purposes are highlighted in green. And it's made from recycled paper using soy-based ink. Okay? So if you ever get stuck in an elevator and you're hungry, you can eat the pages probably and not get sick from it, I'm guessing. People are reverting to the pagan worldview where trees and animals are venerated, while man is simply one more animal in the ecosystem, and man is more of a hindrance than an asset, we're the problem and we're destroying the earth. It's a huge movement that started back in the late 1800s with forestries and preserves, different stuff like that, and then it got a rebirth in the 1960s, and the trend is still going on now, and it's basically nature over man. And this is why we have another lie that's being pushed on the population, and they're accepting it. Global warming is huge, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's being pushed on the people. It's the biggest hoax ever pushed on mankind. I mean, really, I mean, they said that there's probably global warming on Mars, but they don't have any factories and cars up there, so, you know. People believe that in order for the Earth to survive, we have to change our behavior. And once they realized that global warming wasn't living up to the hype, they changed the name to climate change, thinking that that would work a lot better. You know, I believe in climate change. It's called the four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall. You know, and if there is climate change, there's nothing that man can do to alter that. It's basically in God's hands. And if you didn't know this, back in 2009, I believe that the university in the United Kingdom, their emails were hacked, and what they found out was that the scientists were manipulating the data regarding global warming because the evidence wasn't there. So they're basically changing things around, and they're also discussing amongst each other how to get rid of the dissenting scientists and get them out of the way because they were hindering their cause, suppressing the truth. You probably didn't hear about that because the media didn't latch onto it because they suppressed the truth also. You know, I worked with someone once, and I was explaining to her that this is the last Sunday that I'm working because they're going to hire somebody else, and I don't work on Sundays. So, well, how come you don't work on Sundays? So I'm a Christian. I go to church. She goes, oh, I'm spiritual too. I said, really, what spirit do you worship? She goes, the earth. So the earth is creation. It doesn't have a spirit. How do you do that? It's just another way to suppress the truth, right? Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there, 32:17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you. You know, if one suppresses the truth that God is the creator of man and believe in evolution, then we can focus on preserving the earth. And once again, no accountability. And that's just not it. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. You know, our hope is not in this earth. Okay, God's going to do away with the earth, the heavens, and he's going to rebuild a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what we're looking forward to. Says they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. I spoke with a guy once who told me, he was in a health food store, he said if a dog and a man were drowning in a lake, that he would try to save the dog first. That's his priority, okay? It's like, really? And then his wife gave birth to a baby not too long, and I thought about going up to him and asking him, if your baby was drowning in a lake and a dog, who should I save first? What do you think he would answer? Right? There's more emphasis today on how we treat animals than how we treat humans. You know, you can't disturb that eagle's nest. The animals are more protected than humans. Don't hurt that nest of animals. You can tear a baby out of the womb, but you can't kill a nest of sea turtles. If you remember a couple of years back, Cecil the lion. Do you remember hearing about Cecil the lion? He was a lion in a wildlife preserve in Zimbabwe, protected, and some dentist from Minneapolis, Minnesota went on a hunting expedition, hired a guide, and I guess they lured the lion out of his preserve, and this guy shot him with a bow and arrow and then finished him off later with a rifle. And you wouldn't believe that this guy just, there was death threats. He had to close his business down for a while. People were just sending him the nastiest notes. He had to actually hide out for a while. Unbelievable. This story, by the way, got more press time far more than the Planned Parenthood videos that came out. The media just like skipped right over that. But Cecil the Lion, oh yeah, this is a big problem. Can I tell you, I have 5 chickens in my yard, and they all have names, so I can't eat them. Once you name them, you can't eat them. And I'm a member of PETA, you know, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, except mine is People Eating Tasty Animals. So mine's different. But, you know, my neighbor, I've lost 2 chickens to hawks, and my neighbor says you can't shoot the hawk, it's protected. It's like, really, what do I do about my chickens then, you know? I love nature. I really do. And as Conrad and I have a bond regarding growing trees, fruit trees, and being out in my garden. And I love it. And you know, being out there, it tells me and it shows me how marvelous God is. The more I get into gardening and growing trees, the more I see God's evidence. I start seeing, wow. You know, I think to myself, the hymn says, how great thou art. You know, I see the grander mountains, I see the rolling seas, the birds in the trees. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. That's what I see when I see nature. Suppressing the truth, reprobate mind. The Greek word translated reprobate in the New Testament is adokimos, which means literally unapproved, that is rejected and worthless. Other translations say totally bad, wicked, corrupt person, a person rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. You know, I can't think of a worse place to be. You know, 3 times in this passage that we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, therefore God gave them over. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over. Verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do what ought not to be done. You know, these people had a knowledge of God. They suppressed the truth about him. They set up idols for themselves. But things go wrong in their lives. It's a downward spiral into all kinds of sin, seeking deeper and deeper into sin until they can't even think straight anymore. A worthless mind. It's like being in a dark room. When you walk into that room, you can't see. But if you stay in that darkness long enough, your eyes adjust, and you can operate in that room totally perfectly after a while, in darkness, and not even realize you're in darkness. I want to give you an example. I just came across this as I was preparing the message, and I just thought it fit perfectly. A woman named Kristen Brown posted a blog online on a place called Fusion.net entitled, I Had an Abortion, It Was a Total Joyful Experience. And she had all the icons illustrated with party favors, party hats, and champagne bottles, all different paraphernalia. She said, I felt powerful, as if there were no obstacles I couldn't surmount. I felt a deep sense of freedom, knowing that my only responsibility was to myself. I was overcome with gratitude and optimism and a newfound sense of control. I felt awesome. I don't even know what to say about that. I just think of Isaiah when I hear Isaiah 5:20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's just like the saddest thing. You know, you can arrive at this kind of thinking because your cornerstone wasn't right. You denied the evidence of the truth of God. And you decided, well, I'm going to get into environmentalism, nature, you know, animals and all this other stuff. And it could often lead to lack of respect for human life at that point. So what difference is this anymore? There's no God, it's just evolution, right? What's the big deal? But religions and religious people can also have a reprobate mind. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:8. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of reprobate minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Jannes and Jambres were 2 chief magicians in Pharaoh's court. and we don't have time to turn there, but they duplicated a couple of miracles, different miracles that Moses did. If you remember, when Moses threw down his staff, they came right along beside him and duplicated the miracle. The only problem is that that was the counterfeit. That was not the real deal. Well, lo and behold, today we have Jehovah's Witnesses that will come with a counterfeit Jesus, trying to duplicate what we have, but he's not the right Jesus. He's the Son of God, but not God the Son. Like Jannes and Jambres, they resist the truth, men of corrupt, reprobate minds concerning the faith, unapproved by God. They go to great lengths to suppress the truth. They'll even take the Greek language and change the structure of the Greek language to something that's not even possible. I had two Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door about 3 weeks ago, and I asked them about the Greek in John 1. And I says, no other Greek scholar will tell you that this translation is even possible. How do you get that? He says, well, we found one. Oh, really? Okay, you found one out of like thousands of scholars, and we're going to go with that one? They're suppressing the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses, man, with all of their body weight on that spring, they're suppressing the truth of Jesus as hard as they can. As hard as they can. So it's an interesting contrast to reprobate mind in religion also. People in the world, but in the religion. Just real quick, and then I have to close. Mark Twain says, if you don't read the newspapers, you are uninformed. If you do read the newspapers, then you're misinformed. Go figure. I'm going to skip over this because we're out of time, but you know, when you watch the media, they're not giving, they withhold the truth left and right. They got their own agenda. They're going to suppress the truth every way they can. And you know, don't trust them. ABC always broadcasting communism, CBS constantly broadcasting socialism, and NBC nothing but crud. Anyway, you know, and Christians are being slaughtered, okay, all across the world. You have genocide in the Middle East, and the media is hardly even covering this. They're just like, you know, not part of what we want to cut. They're suppressing the truth so badly, and the only reason we know is because we're plugged in to this, and we know what the brethren are going through. You know, William MacDonald says, light rejected is light denied. Those who don't want to see lose the capacity to see. I got to tell you, after reading this passage, I am just so thankful that I am in the light and the truth, that I know this. You know, it's important to remember God's grace. And I know there's maybe people here today that come from a bad and a rough and a tough background. And before we were saved, we were into all kinds of things. And I don't know how, you know, there are people that will give you their testimony and say that they have been delivered from a lifestyle like this. You know, at what point does God give them over? You know, they constantly reject his truth. Time and time again, to God says, okay, if this is what you want, are you sure you want this? But this is what I'm grateful for, and we'll close with this. Turn to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. This is what I'm grateful for. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'll emphasize these different passages as I go along. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Aren't you glad for God's rich mercy and his grace? I am.